Very good morning to you, my dear listener. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a nice and chill Wednesday morning. And if you find yourself on the road, and if you find yourself on the road, make sure that you are buckled up and you obey the traffic rules, so that you save the life of other people. So thanks for joining us this morning. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your 24 hours talk radio stations. And thank you for making us your choice this morning to be in your company. So, and our time, it's about 33 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it really impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but this is not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories that are happening around our country and around the world. So if you're joining us, good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So today is the 7th of May, and the year is 2025, and let's look at what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 7th in 1677, the French captured Goree Island from the Dutch. Well, these guys were fighting themselves on our continent. So the French captured the Goree Island from the Dutch, securing a strategic position off the coast of Senegal. So this victory for the French was vital in establishing French dominance in West Africa, in West African trade routes during the colonial era. So, and May the 7th, 1962, marked the official end of the Algerian War of Independence, leading to Algeria's liberation from French colonial rule. And this milestone symbolized the resilience and determination of Algerian nationalists in their pursuit of freedom. And on the 7th of May, that is in 1994, Nelson Mandela was inaugurated as South Africa's first black president, signifying the end of apartheid and the beginning of a new democratic era. So his presidency became a beacon of hope and unity for the nation and the world at large. So, and on this day, on the renowned Kenyan writer Ngugi wa Thiong'o was born on May 7th, 1938. I think his works, written in both English and Kikuyu, delve into themes of colonialism, cultural identity, and social justice, making a significant contribution to Africa literatures. So yes, that's all what we with some of the significant events that happened on this day in Africa. So, and on the 7th, our thought for the day, for on unpacking the day, when you hate someone, they live in your heart rent free. You know, when you hate someone, they live in your heart rent free. So they occupy your heart free without renting at all. All right, that's what the saying says. So the saying means that harboring hatred or resentment towards someone allows them to occupy your thought and emotion without contributing anything positive to your life. So essentially, by focusing on hatred, you give the person power over your mental and emotional well-being, even though they may not even be aware, they themselves may not be aware of it or affected by it themselves, you know. So the saying serves as a reminder to let go of a negative emotion from your own, for your own peace of mind. So forgiveness or detachment, it doesn't excuse wrongdoing, but freezes you from the emotional weight of hatred. So that's the thought of the day today on unpacking the day, when you hate someone, they live in your heart rent free. Well, good morning to you. If you are just joining us, and stay tuned because we will definitely be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna, Imatina, Omjo, Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, Iamoyawa, Otaimbo Gotamani, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Obitombanawa, Orangika, Taithanina, Omaguro, Nidanipoma, Yue, Longishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 Meneha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Para un pasi para aquí, huimos por yo voy a programar de tu Moambo, lengue la selma, con la gente aquí, datu datu, gear y jamano tano, o aliach, y que le fem, lo hago.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
All right. So wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. That's right. Accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need to do is actually, you know, download the Eagle FM mobile app, and then you'll be connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and to many other features that are on our Eagle FM app. So all you need to do, just download the Eagle FM app, mobile app, and you are definitely good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news, and the latest policy development. So you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And today's publication is also, it's out already. Or what you need to do to receive your copy, or what you need to do is just, you know, subscribe by just sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And if you are a business person, and we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. Our complimentary apps, we have the Imba, and then also we have the Eagle FM app, are perfect really for boosting your product and also your services, whether whatever the promotion you want to make. You know, we can, you know, these are really perfect to boost your product and services to a wide range of customers and consumers. So, and then don't also forget our social media platform, which are some of the most active, in the country, giving you a perfect space to elevate your brand and product visibility. So give us a call at 083-288-400. So, and if you're just joining us, thanks for tuning in, and thanks for, you know, making us your choice this morning, and you're just tuning in. You tune in Unpacking of the Day. And my name is Mike Oshoveri, and welcome. All right. So our time, it's about 7:45, 45 minutes past the hour of 7. And, thanks for, as I said, thank you for joining us. So let's get into, what we have, for you, this morning. So, yeah. Now, this morning we are taking an analytic deep dive into the Namibia Quarterly Economic Review. Namibia Quarterly Economic Review for the first quarter of 2025. So that's what we're gonna look at. So now this is a very comprehensive report. It's a comprehensive report published by the IPPR, the Institute for Public Policy Research. So the report highlights our economic trajectory, the ambitious government plans, which basically your SWAPO manifesto, SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, and also we also then look at the significant challenges we face when it comes to some of these government plans. So our goal this morning, and I will invite you to join me, our goal this morning is to explore these critical areas that given that now this is actually a review, it's a quarterly economic review for the first quarter of 2025. So what we're going to do is explore these critical areas that are basically, in the government plans. And you know what is a government plan? Is that SWAPO, manifesto, implementation plan. So, the critical areas, we're going to look at the trend, the macro trends. We're going to also look at social priorities. What are the social priorities of the government and the challenges, you know, this plan faces, and also looking at economic enablers also and legal reform that the government is planning. To now, what we're going to do is to understand what they mean, you know, what all this mean for the everyday you and I, the everyday Namibian. So let's get into this. What I'm inviting you to do is also that if I, because I'm going to look at section by section on the document, the review, the report, have some chapters, have different sections and have chapters as well from one up to, I think up to the third or third. I'm not going to go to all the chapters, but we're going to look at some chapters that have really, really, and we're not going to go through everything. We're just looking at some of the critical, areas, that maybe deserve our bit of consideration, our bit of attention to some of these issues. And I would invite you at any time because, I would like to look at this throughout the program probably. So I would invite you at any time when you, maybe I'm on a certain sections and something just struck you and you wanted to come through, you're most welcome to just to come through, at any time. So you're most welcome. Just come through at any time when maybe I touch on something that you would like to contribute, and we continue after that. So don't wait until I'm completely finished all the aspect that because I'm just gonna look at this quarterly economic the Namibia quarterly economic review for the first quarter of 2025 as it compiled or published by the Institute for Public Policy Research. So that's all what we're going to do this morning, and maybe if we really go through this quickly, maybe also try to cover something else on the program. So be part of that and be critical. Because the reasons why we're going through this really, as I said, is to understand what all this mean, for everyday, Namibian. So what I'm doing actually, I'm reviewing the review, you know, I'm reviewing the review that, that also being done by the IPPR, So adding in, looking at also, you know, asking questions mostly. What we do is asking questions and also being a watchdog that we are. So being a watchdog, what we are, and we're inviting you and any organization that out there, you know, probably to do the same. Yeah. So, all right. Now, let's look at first the microeconomic trends that we see in the first quarter of the 2025. So we see that Namibia's economy is showing some sign of recovery with 14 consecutive quarters of positive growth. 14 consecutive quarters of a positive growth, a streak that begin in mid 2021. This is actually started in 2021. So we see that the report indicated that there is that positive growth for about 15 quarters consecutive, 14 consecutive quarters showing positive growth. So and this is an impressive achievement, especially given the global economic turbulences of recent years. Now, according to the Namibian quarterly economic review that we are reviewing, the Bank of Namibia has projected the GDP growth. They projected the GDP growth at 3.8 for 2025, and then and 4.0 for 2026. So yeah. So that's a very encouraging growth that we see in the report. Yeah. And but while the headline really figures look encouraging, as they say, the devil is in the details. So now when you go to different sectors, as the growth across sectors remain different, remain uneven. Okay? For example, the service sectors, yeah, contributed significantly to economic activity with about 54.7 of the GDP. So while now the primary sectors like the mining and the agriculture, those ones struggled. So we know that the mining sector saw a decline attributed to challenges in a diamond production, and the crop farming, definitely there has been a setback due to the drought conditions. So, and these are the key sectors for Namibia's economy. So, and their underperformance really could drag down the overall progress as well. So now here is where it gets even more complex. The Bank of Namibia recently cut the repo rate to 6.75%, its lowest level since January 2023. Now, this move, according to the bank, it was aimed actually to stimulate borrowing and also investment. So, yeah, comes against now the backdrop of a decline inflation rate as well at 4.2, which is actually a significant drop from its peak of 7.3 in 2022. So there has been really that significant drop when you compare how the highest, which was actually 7.3 in 2022, so now at 4.2. So the lower repo rate means means that cheaper loans, potentially boosting consumption and investment, and also, but it also raises, as in the report indicated, that it also raises question about sustainability. Now, is this growth driven by something we are doing as a country? So is this growth driven by something that we are doing as a country, meaning internal kind of resilience that we are putting up? Or are we riding on a favorable condition? Are we riding on a favorable global market conditions? Is that, you know, this growth comes because of favorable global market conditions. So it's not really something that we are ourselves doing. Because think of Namibia, Namibia is dependent when it comes to some sectors. For example, the mining and also now we're talking about oil. So these are sensitive. So these are sectors that are actually sensitive to global demand and price in fluctuations. So it doesn't really, so now the question is that, so is this growth, is there anything that we are doing that actually is this growth driven by something that we are doing as a country, or it's really just that now there has been that a favorable global market conditions? So because those sectors, some of these sectors, as I said, they are sensitive to global demand and also price fluctuation, which make us Namibia as vulnerable. So now, when you're talking about now growth, I think for you and I, the most important question is, as we read about this growth, okay, are you feeling the benefits of a growing economy? Okay, are you feeling the benefit? And that's basically what the review looking at is. Okay, there is that progress in terms of growth, but then are you feeling the benefit of a growing economy, or do these gains, when we talk about all this gain, when there are report about these gains, or do these gains feel distant from your everyday life? So your voice is, it's your voice matter here. So let's hear it. So you may come in also, you know, and have your contribution on that. So what do you think? So when you read all these growth and gains, so do you feeling the benefits of this, of benefits of a growing economy? Do you feel that? Does it make any changes in your day-to-day life? Or do these gains, feel very distant, from your everyday life? So those are some of the update in terms of that. But let's get to something that is more interesting, on the review, on the quarterly, economic review. So now, on March 22nd, Namibia witnessed a significant moment in governance. The president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, in her first major move as a country fifth president, announced a restructured cabinet, completely restructured cabinet. The changes are striking. You know, the changes are really, really striking. Not just in scale, but also as some refer to, in symbolism. So not just in terms of numbers, but also, what it symbolizes. So the number of ministry had been reduced from 21 to 14. All right. From 21 to 14. And with half of them actually led by women. Half of those actually are led by women. And this is progress worth acknowledging. I think it's a progress that worth really acknowledging. A smaller, more streamlined cabinet could mean more effective or more efficient decision making, right? It could mean that. And the fact that half of the ministry are headed by women, it really sends a powerful message, you know, a powerful message about, let's say, about inclusivity and changing face of leadership in Namibia. So, yeah, so that's what the review also looking at, that, you know, there has been really this change. And it's visible when we can see that in the changes that are meant. So, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, let's not stop there. So, there's also some like Minister of Fisheries, Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform ended. It ended, the appointment of that ended up, just weeks later due to, you know, to allegation of bribery and unethical conduct. So, and this early, they're also, now, the review also looking at this early controversy raises a critical question. Now, the question, can this cabinet embody, can this cabinet embody principles of ethical leadership and meritocracy, which actually that the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan claimed to champion. So they're looking already at this controversy that it raises, that can this cabinet embody what actually the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan claimed to champion, which is actually the principle of ethical leadership and meritocracy. So that's already under microscope. It's already put under microscope to see that can this cabinet embody that principle. All right. So now the SWAPO Manifesto Implementation Plan emphasized the need for merit-based appointments merit-based appointment, transparency, and integrity in governance. Let's emphasize those important elements. But Namibia's history. So when you look at Namibia's history tells a completely different story. And maybe that's why, you know, the new administration wanted to focus on that, because now we have seen cabinet made by political patronage, where appointments often seem to, in the past, seem to reward the loyalty that was more like the focus, reward loyalty over competence. So now the question is, which is also highlighted in the review, is will this administration break away from that legacy? So will it break away from that legacy? The legacy of rewarding loyalty, maybe party loyalty, rather than competence. So there seem to be from the very beginning, a breaking away. This administration, the question is this administration breaking away from that legacy? There seem to be an indication when we're looking at how the composition of the cabinet, how the minister, the president have made her choices of cabinet. So there seem to be a little bit of moving away from that. So, and if we dig deeper, so while the reduction in cabinet size, you know, could streamline operations, fewer ministry may also mean, one also have to understand that the fewer ministry could also mean broader mandates for those that remain, you know, so potentially becoming overwhelmed, you know, because of many departments just lumped together. So we have, for instance, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture now oversees a vast range of critical areas. So the question is, which still actually, you know, people ask, so how effectively can a single ministry manage such diverse portfolios without spreading itself too thin? Without really spreading itself too thin. So those are some of the things that this review is also looking at. And then there is the question of competence. So the question of competence, which eight cabinet members, if you look at eight cabinet members, were not on the SWAPO party list. The eight cabinet members were not on the SWAPO party list, but were appointed to the National Assembly specifically for their roles. So, and this could also signal what I was saying earlier. This could also signal a move towards selecting leaders, maybe a move towards selecting leaders based on skills and expertise rather than on party loyalty. So yes, maybe this administration is breaking away from that legacy. So, but will this be enough to overcome something that Mandume called a cockroach tendency? So, but will this be enough to overcome those deep-seated systemic inefficiency and ensure really a progress? Those are part of the review of this year, of 2025, of the first quarter of 2025. So now, ethical leadership is another promise. Ethical leadership is another promise highlighted in the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. So President Nandi Ndaitwah's immediate action. So maybe President Nandi Ndaitwah's immediate action of dismissing the Minister of Fisheries, maybe reflecting a zero tolerance approach to misconduct. So, but this is also racist. It's also racist and broader issues. It's also racist some broader issues that what mechanisms, so what mechanisms are in place to prevent, if she has to make another appointment, what are mechanisms in place to prevent such appointment in the first place? So what are mechanisms in place? What is the strategies in place to actually even prevent such appointment in the first place? So, and more importantly, will the ethical practice be consistently addressed across all level of government? You know, will that be now that becomes the standard ethical practices across, and that be done consistently addressed across all level of government? So we now want to see that, you know, happening across every level of the government. Will that be consistently, or is just going to apply to certain individuals? So these are things that are coming out of the review, this economic review, quarterly economic review for the first quarter of 2025. So what are your thoughts? Is the restructured cabinet a genuine step forward? Better, you know, is it a genuine step for towards? It's a genuine step towards better governance. Do you think so? Is that you can see that? Yeah, this restructured cabinet is really a genuine step towards a better governance, or does it risk becoming yet another exercise in political optics, if you like, if you can use the word, you know? So can these new faces truly bring about new results? And or is this reshuffling just a window dressing? So what are you convinced? So that's what I'm asking. At the end of the day, leadership is not about who sits in the cabinet. So it's about the values, competence, and commitment they bring to the roles. So I think that's what is matter most. Yeah. So what is your thought? Okay. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that? All right. So yeah, those are the critical areas that are coming out of the quarterly report. And as I said at the beginning, if there's something that that I highlight and you feel like you want to come through and to just comment on that, you're most welcome to do that. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. So you can come in, because I'm just going through I'm just going highlighting what are the critical areas in the quarterly economic review published by the Institute of Public published by the IPPR. So yeah, and really looking at where we are and how does that really affect you and I and everyday Namibian. So that's what we're looking at in the first quarter of 2025. So you're most welcome to come through, have your comment or reaction on anything that I say, and contribute to the topic. So our telephone number again, we're in Ondangwa studio, 0833-66091. Yesterday somebody said have been trying to call, but well, I need to repeat that number now and over and over, so that, you know, maybe if you miss it one time, you can get it the second time. So now let's get to the very interesting part. These are now chapter one. When you look, there's a chapter one on the document on this, the quarterly, Namibia's quarterly, economic, review. So the chapter one is about the social priorities, and those social priorities is the priorities that are found in the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. So really just reviewing some of the aspect from in the quarter now, that where are we, you know, and how this is going. So from the IPPR. So let's take a look at the social priorities outlined in the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, as detailed now in the Namibia quarterly economic review. There are big ticket item, a really ticket item meant to uplift. These are, when you look at the social priorities are really, really big ticket items, if you like. Big ticket items meant to uplift the livelihood and address key challenges facing our nation. And that's why they are really, really important to look at. And let's look at what the report say, starting with agriculture. Okay. So the social priorities, we have, agriculture, then we have, you know, sport, we have the, what is the other one? We have youth empowerment. So these are the social priorities. And then we have education, and also we have health and creative industries. Those are the areas. Those are the social social priorities. And then we have health. I mentioned health already. And also we have housing and sanitation. And then so those are, before we go to also critical economic enablers. So those are housing and sanitations, so health, we have creative industries, and also education and youth empowerment, sport, and agriculture. So those are the critical social priorities. Now, so we just go through over some of this. What are the plans on each of this? We're not going to go details with the report itself, but we're just highlighting what are the plans, and for yourself to see. There are some of this are those plans achievable? Do we have resources to actually implement some of these plans? Be a little bit critical. It's not that, just for you, ask questions, you know, and also compliment where you see the change that are deserving. And that's what we're looking. This is the first quarter. We just review the review, that's actually done by the IPPR. So we're just reviewing the review that has been done by them. So now the SWAPO, SWAPO manifesto, implementation plan, the SMIP, it's actually by short is SMIP, you know, proposes a major reform for the green schemes, aiming to really outsource us. That's one aspect that I'm taking out of this. You know, aiming to outsource the agricultural production to private insects, you know, so private investors. So while also integrating actually small scale farmers. Yeah. So the goal is really ambitious. Ensuring that 100% of Namibian drought relief staples are locally produced, which is actually, that's what it should be. You know, we should be able to now to be able to provide enough staples for our, and especially when it comes to drought relief, locally, we should have local produced food that we can be able to feed our people. Ideally, this sounds like a win-win when now you're talking about the whole idea of outsourcing agricultural production to the private investors. So, as I said, this sounds a win-win, but here's the problem. All right. So also highlighted in the review that the private investors typically focus on high value crops. They focus more on high value crops that generate significant profit. So we're talking about the crops like grapes and blueberries. You know, those are higher value crops that actually generate significant profit. So the staples like maize and millet, which are essential for drought relief, are often cheaper. You know, these are cheaper, and they are cheaper to import as well. These are cheaper to import than actually to produce locally. So now, without clear incentives now from what the Swapo manifesto implementation plan is proposing, without a clear incentives, will the private investors truly buy into this plan? So remember, I said they would focus more on high value crops that generate a significant profit. Yeah. So, and as I said, they also highlight that the staple like maize and millet, which are now the plan is actually now to outsource to private sector so that, you know, can be able to produce enough for our drought relief. So the question is that now, without these are things, these are cheaper to import as well than actually produce them locally. So now, without clear incentives from the plan, will the private investor actually truly buy into this plan? Will they buy into this? Or does this risk actually becoming another underfunded and overly optimistic kind of policy? Would it be end up that way? So that's the analysis that's so. Now, what do you think? Should we now? And this is a very, very, very crucial question, I think. Now, we're talking about here the high value crops that investors, private investors, typically would focus on. Now, should we? This is the question I want you to think. And these are things that I think today what we want to do. I mean, not today, but what we really want to do, you know, as citizens, because my focus now is actually accountability of citizen to leadership and any type of leadership. It doesn't matter whether it's religious, traditional, political. So that's the reason why we go into some of this information, just to, you can only be accountable when you understand the issues. When you understand the issues, it's only when you hold now accountable of, it's only when you can involve in discussion. It's only when you can involve in dialogue. It's only when you can hold accountable. Now, my question is, should we prioritize profit-driven crops for export, like now the grapes and the blueberries? Or should we focus on local food security, even if it means higher costs? So because what it says is that to import the staples like maize and millet, these are essential for drought relief now, are often cheaper. These are cheaper to import than actually to produce locally. So now, should we prioritize? Where should the priority be? Should be on a profit-driven crops for export, or focus on a local food security, even if it means higher costs in doing so? What do you think? I want your thoughts. I want your, what do you think about that? So, and also, as I said, and this is what the review indicating, are the incentives, you know, for private, sectors to invest. Yeah. So in staples like maize and millet. So what do you think? So, yeah. So now the other area. So that's, as I said at the very beginning, you're most welcome to come through at any time. I'm reviewing the Namibia quarterly economic review, done by IPPR. So I'm reviewing the review. Okay. Just highlighting some critical, areas within highlighted in the review, and basically looking at the much of this actually found in the, what is that, in the SWAPO implementation, I mean SWAPO manifesto implementation plan. So yeah, so far we look at the agriculture. We're just highlighting some aspect that may require your attention, that may require your thinking. So the other part, the other social priority is sport. Sport have been identified as a tool for social cohesion and youth development by this administration. So the SWAPO manifesto plan, implementation plan includes promises to build basic sport facilities in all 121 constituencies, all right? In all. So in all 121 constituencies, and also upgrade stadium to CAF standard across the regions. CAF standard. Upgrade, you know, which is actually brilliant. That would absolutely be brilliant. Okay. If we have, all our stadium across the regions are at CAF standard, that will be something. That will be really, really something, something great. Yeah? So now the 200 million annually is, it's earmarked for sport leagues. There are 200 million annually, which is now earmarked for sport leagues, with additional funding potentially coming from a gambling levy. So we have those 200 million that's earmarked for sport leagues. So, but here's the problem. All right. Let's get here the caller quickly, and then we can continue. Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good FM. Good night.
Good morning, man.
Unpacking the Day.
Yes.
Yeah, first on the appointment and the what you were trying to review.
Yeah.
I think you see, the best is productivity is very critical.
Yeah.
And apart from bad leadership. But what I've picked up this is everybody is in agreement with it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Mm.
We are speaking the same language, all of us. That's okay. The appointments that were made by the Excellency,
they
are the best choices so far.
Yeah.
And where you said the...
Okay, when you say best choices, all right, let's say, for example, we agree with you. Okay, best choices. In your opinion, what you say based is based on what? What is that? What you're saying? These are best choices.
The deliverables. Because you see, a person, you know, in my
It has been only three months.
No, I still agree.
Yeah.
In every culture, every human being, you know, they tell you how to learn a person. You know how many minutes you need to know a person very well.
Yeah.
10 minutes is enough. A person who is coming from the family where they work, he will show you immediately when they arrive at your place. You don't need to give them anything. They'll start working immediately.
Yeah.
If they are different, they'll pick up this and that and that. a lazy person, you will see by the minute when you start to see, ah, this one, we are going a long way.
has it been different? Has it been different compared to the previous administration? Do you see any difference in terms of, you know, once these people have been appointed, you can see that they are on the work already. Has been any difference?
Yes. Let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
Ask yourself a question. How many people are interested in government?
Mm.
Because even if when you're in the green, so we used to go for inauguration, we don't say no.
Yeah.
We were proud of the democracy, so given democracy to us.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so, you know, how to say it? It was not that warm, you know, that you feel it. It is in your bones.
Yeah.
You are part of it compared to now.
Yeah.
Now, everybody feels to be part of it. Even the cabinet, not maybe, let's say, maybe the way the president chose the cabinet and the way the parliament came in.
Yeah.
It was variety, you know. The composition was like, yes.
Mm.
You know? So I think that part also have played a role.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and you can see that all these guys are youngsters. Most of them, they are age mates.
Yeah.
And facing each other, respect is what we always, we cherish it. But I won't be scared to tell you, if something is wrong.
Yeah.
I won't be scared to point that because you are my peer. But if you look at the old man, and then when you want to, you are trying to choose the way of saying it in a polite way.
Mm.
You see, but what you are saying in a polite way is the wrong thing. You know, instead of saying, pointing it out to be a wrong thing, you choose the way to say it. And the person might not realize that what you're telling them is wrong. They might think you are appreciating them.
Yeah.
Yes. So, now, that part you can see that, okay, they have started working.
Yeah.
But this is what we have seen, that if, you know, my people, they say, when you are a visitor, you know how long they classify you as a visitor in my culture?
It's just that day, ne?
3 days.
3 days?
We give you, the first day you are not a visitor, you are part of us.
I thought when you woke up in the morning tomorrow, you are no longer a visitor.
No, but you might not know this and that a little bit, eh?
Yeah.
So we give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes. 3 days is enough, because 3 days, you are no longer a visitor. We are not going to feed you. You should learn that in Africa, we feed each other.
Mm.
Yes. So, and you can see that these people are working. Look, let me be honest with you. There are companies in you can see somebody is appointed as a CEO. Day one, the person 5 years have never achieved anything.
Yeah.
You can see it openly. 5 years. We are blaming ourselves for the 3 years, for the 5 years not to have sustainable agriculture food, production, food production. Yes, maybe, but I don't blame it on the people, because the people have been hard at work. The system which was designed to fail the people.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at them, the system is designed to empower the people, and we speak the same language. You see that everything will be working in our favor.
Yeah.
Yes. But then when it comes to sports, what to say when they say the Super Manchester implementation plan, eh?
Yeah.
Of stadium. You know the good thing about stadium? You don't need to be your own. It's not the limited team that will be playing here. FIFA will decide, or CAF will say, no, the friendly match between Botswana and Zambia, whatever, they are going to play in Namibia.
Mm.
You see, that's the importance of stadium. You can even find that, okay, maybe Egypt and Algeria.
Yeah.
Eh? Because of these differences, they are going to have a match in Namibia. Americans and the Iran, World Cup, they realize which one will be the free way everybody will be happy. No, let's take them to Namibia. You get my point?
Yeah.
Because the schedule meets the standard of international. You get my
point? Yeah, no, that's a very good point. But let's also look at our own history. You know, not only in terms of maybe stadium, I can take for example of the Oshakati Stadium, how many times that actually that place has been repaired and all that, year after year, it never get to a point where it's really reached that standard. I'm glad that the new administration says that we need to bring everything to that level. But we have a problem of maintenance.
I say that again. I also agree with you.
Yeah.
But where now I want to put my emphasis is, you know, the people, especially in what is Namibia football and whatever sport, this association, you know, the biggest problem I have with us as people, we bring ourselves down. We go for salary first before we fix anything.
Yeah.
People are fighting for positions. You get what I
mean?
Now, they ignore, because why? They are fighting for positions. Instead of the person you are going to put in that position doesn't even understand that it doesn't have people at heart.
Yeah.
Yes. So that if you put people in position who understand what is it, you know, soccer is a nice thing, to be honest with you. That's the only thing that brings people together.
Yeah.
We can come from one place, my friend, me and you, we are fighting. But then we are holding the same match and we are sitting next to each other. A nice score. Good. By the moment you realize that we don't talk,
Yeah.
It's too late.
we are already hugging each other.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You know how sweet it is,
Yeah.
That if you don't know anything, that is passing, you know. People will tell you, no, this guy is like, for sake, you. We want to go to that guy. You know, that's a good part of sport.
Yeah.
You are watching and Ben Fredericks here is going to cross the line now. What? My friend. You and your wife, you come from home fighting. You know, that's a it's unified.
Mm. And I think it's a good thing to understand. It's one thing that people can understand is that this administration make it a priority, make it a social priority, and the whole question now is really how can we have that, you know, implemented.
That's my point. I think we should encourage our parliamentarian, especially on corruption, the way the excellence says, that corruption must be treated like treason.
Mm.
I think we need to put it in our constitution.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think the other
student comes.
Yeah. So one of my mission this year, and it's really creating a sense of accountability from citizen, you know, where we don't leave it up to politician anymore. That we put you in a parliament, we put you in a cabinet, and then do that for us. No, we as a citizen should actually take an active role. And first of all, in doing that, is really understanding what are the issues. And sometimes when we realize, especially we as from Eagle FM, when you go through these kind of issues, sometimes they are not issues that people are entertained to listen to. But these are information that would be able to help you to understand and be able to be involved in a dialogue. In your economic dialogue, in your development dialogue, these are the information that you need.
Yes. Look, the other thing is, you see, I think our leaders, they listen, to be honest with you. They listen.
Yeah.
Yes. But some of the stuff we spoke on Negro FM, you can see they are in action. They have wrote that most of the stuff, even in the previous administration.
Yeah.
Yes. They could pick up here and there, things here and there. Most of the stuff, you can see some of the ideas were implemented.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes they call us anyway. They call us and said, either certain things we say or whatever, they call you individual. And also sometimes, it's a good that you guys are talking about what and what. Yeah, we know that.
The same thing we are saying at 400 should be, maybe parliamentarians, if they are listening, I don't know, we'll try to address it, we'll take it to them. But if they are listening, that at 400 must be now removed, that part of unlaw, otherwise lawfully owned, because you cannot say everything belongs to the state.
Mm.
And then you put, because somebody who put that, they did it deliberately.
Yeah.
So Parliament must also say, let's do it deliberately to remove it so that the state is empowered.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Because we make sure that prison is putting the corruption. If you are found corrupt, these are the consequences. it's in part, we put it in the constitution. Mm-hmm. Then we said that that part we remove it and we give the state, and we put 50% ownership of the state.
Yeah.
We tell the government comes, it's not set up to fail.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
If you fail, then it's your own cup of coffee. Second, my plea is to the nation that we us as voters, let's not choose the lies because I'm from this side, I'm from that side. Let's see the party that is working. If someone is going to work well, please, what's failing us to mandate them?
Yeah.
If it's UDM, whichever party works, please.
Exactly.
Whichever parliamentary member of parliament, if that party in parliament is doing great, let's vote for that party. All of us.
Yeah.
And I think we say, also, if you're in whatever, they should reduce the number of parties. Let's have even 10. Then we know at least that our parliament is now condensed. So any person to get to parliament, it will require you to have at least good ideas.
Yeah, actually, maybe you're just saying the ECN must increase the number of member requirements, because anyone who show up with a number of requirements that said if you have 10,000...
Yeah, reduce the number of parties.
No, you can't reduce the number of party. You have to reduce the number of... Yeah, but what I'm saying is that to do that, you have to increase the number required to form a party. Let's say, for example...
Oh, yeah, I know you're right. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
So rather than reduce the party, you just said for you to have a party, you need to have about 50,000 members.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Then we see... Because I can see that everybody, all of us, we are speaking the same language, that let's have our own.
Mm.
On that thing of importing food is cheaper, if we produce it, it's expensive. Don't worry about that. When we continue producing, they will also be cheaper. Because where they are coming from, it's in abundance. What they are giving us surplus. So we start, when we start producing our own, we will also have surplus.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Mm.
Then it will be cheaper.
Yeah.
So it can't be cheap at the beginning. Let's agree to disagree. It won't be cheap at the beginning, but let's start.
All right.
Yes, definitely. Thanks.
Thank you for coming through and for your contribution, man.
All the best.
Okay, great.
Bye.
All right. So it's a quarter. It's we're looking at the first quarter, and we are reviewing. I am reviewing. The review, I'm actually reviewing the review from the report, the Namibia Quarterly Economic Review by the IPPR. So that's our focus today. And at any time, if I mention something, if I touch an area that have your interest, you're most welcome. You're most welcome to come through and just have your comment on. So we're looking at this comprehensive report published by the Institute of Public Policy Research. So highlighting our economic this word is always, you know, that when you have some word that just give you some trouble for some reason, I always find this difficult, seriously. Progress, let me just use the word. For some reason, this is a word that just sometimes, sometimes even how you pronounce it just disappears. Yeah, so we're looking at those. And we were looking at now at we're looking at now on chapter in that document. There's a chapter one, looking at social priorities, and we just go through those social priorities. We looked at agriculture, and I was just now focusing on sport. Yeah. So and we just go through. That, as I said, I'm not going through word by word what is in the review, but also just highlighting and question certain things that may raise, you thinking And as I said, one of my really, really aim also when I'm discussing these issues, the whole point is really to raise consciousness, analyze in the way, bring your information for you to understand where the government is, where the whatever topic that we're discussing, whether it's an issue on a certain company or whatever the case may be. So for you to understand what is happening, how does that affect us? And for you to be able to be involved in the discussion, and knowing from fact wise, you know, what is going on, how, what is your I want now for us that we shouldn't just, what have we been doing is that I think the attitude or the way, the manner we have been is that we vote people, they represent us, let actually do things for us. No, it's about time now we as citizen take accountability for our own, our take accountability and take our leaders accountable also for things that they are doing. They have a contract with us. You know, we need to make sure that they're living up to that contract.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Michael.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm okay, Michael, too. Sorry, man, I was trying to catch up with you, but the way I am, the reception is not that good.
Okay.
It's up and down. You are talking about mine, and later on I heard the appointment,
I don't know what I'm looking. There's a review. What is that? There's a quarterly economic review by the IPPR, the Institute of Public Policy Research. Looking at the first quarter of 2025. Okay, so now it's looking at. Basically, it's basing itself on SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, just to see how far, what are we doing, what are those plans, what do we need to have them implemented. Now, I'm looking at the review, the review, highlighting some critical areas that are very important for us maybe to consider and look at.
My goal for me to take on that is that, there are some achievements.
Yeah.
And there are some improvements we can see that, yes, there are something which we are working towards. Let me start with even the appointment first.
Yeah, maybe, let's be specific on that, yeah.
Yeah, you see, when I'm talking about, I can see the appointment, is that really some of us were happy with it.
Yeah.
With the new appointees. Because, my friends, it's even overdue. Some people are even involved in the corruption, but I'm telling you, they've been recycled left and right. But I'm telling you, when it comes to, implementing like a policy which are really directing, like, I can see maybe the change which I'm happy also with is that when it comes to mine, and that the president office is one of the earlier, I think also maybe we are just waiting to see, but really something needs to be done.
Yeah, the question is there that I'm asking is this. So when it comes to mining and also the area that hasn't been, because what I given the update is just that, you know, there is economic growth, but there are sectors that are not really doing well. Like the mining, diamond productions based on the price fluctuation of the global price fluctuation has shocked. And also the whole question of a drought, the other also crops, farming hasn't been really good because of the drought. Now, the question was that, are there mechanisms in place from the government point of view or from policy level point of view to become internal resilient, that we are not actually become victim and be vulnerable to external shock? like the climate change, maybe the conflicts that are happening elsewhere. How do we strengthen our own, you know, our economic growth resilient, so that we are not becoming more vulnerable to what is happening outside, what is happening globally? I think that's the main point that we're looking at.
Yeah, I think the critical area, and I think the new president is advocating for that is when you come to like our natural resource.
Yeah,
that we give it in all form.
Mm.
So we need to have added value.
Yeah,
like secondary wherever we are going to export them, there must be a secondary finished products.
Yeah.
Which is really, I'm telling you, internal, we are going to grow the economy.
Yeah.
And we are able even to deal with some, just imagine like copper.
Yeah, but the questions there, I think you're right. The questions here now and the review looking at, yes, that's really what we need. But the question is, now, we need infrastructure to do that. We need experts to do that, you know. How long now would it take us to put up those infrastructure and be able then to be able to do to have value additions in terms of that? Or should we actually focus on improving of what we have already? Let's say, for example, instead of value addition, maybe can we ask for a 50% in share? So rather than actually now look for a value addition, maybe we can ask a 50%. Instead of getting now 10%, maybe let's move that to 50%. Yeah, can we improve infrastructure that we have instead of, you know, trying to do completely something new, which might take long years?
Long, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So because you're looking at, now we're talking about a nuclear plant, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we have abundance of wind and solar, you know?
Mm.
So why don't we more increase that rather than actually having, you know, a nuclear, which would cost billion and billion of money, and it takes about 10 to 15 years to actually establish.
Exactly.
You see, those are the questions that if you're looking at. Mm.
Yeah, for me, I think we're supposed to have also a short-term plan.
Yeah,
and the long-term plan. Because now when I'm looking at the nuclear, it's not that bad.
No, the idea is not bad.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. It's like those things you think, that's nice to have, but do you have resources for it?
You know? Yeah, that one area, most of us, we're asking even the question, if even free education when it comes to insisting.
Exactly. Yeah. Those are things.
Yeah. Mm. So the thing for me is that everything in Namibia is very doable. I'm looking at our resources which we are having, and sometimes we can even do this barter system, where the proposal was even like suggested by what? Russian.
Yeah.
That they will be able to put us a nuclear, as long as we give them mine, they can put up nuclear without Namibian costing, putting any money.
Yeah.
You see, that's one critical area I'm looking at. Because if we are having the Chinese here mining uranium, and we are in the top 5 producing nation. But when it comes to reality, we don't see nothing which our uranium are contributing to our GDP.
Yeah.
They don't contribute much when it comes to mine, including even the uranium.
Mm.
But just imagine how the uranium changing the life of what? Niger people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't see any impact of that. I don't know even how we are evaluated to be what in the top 5. If it's, they are not, I mean, uranium is not doing anything in the country.
It's just in terms of production. We are top 5 in terms of production. Yeah.
That's the thing. And we don't even anything, any infrastructure which can be pointed that, you know, because of uranium, losing uranium, that school which you see there, that soccer field which you see there, is a product of uranium. Nothing like that. That's why for me, I'm so happy at least the mind to be what in the president office. Maybe we'll see a change in that.
Mm.
Because it is been 35 years and we are in Namibia, we never get anything from our mind, including even Namdeb. We don't see much, but we can see the intangible what they did in the Olanjemon. Apart from that, colors leading people on the road begging for the food.
Yeah.
But it's where the mine is being mined in that colors leading. But I'm telling you, it's what I'm saying. So much thing need to be done. We must think about long-term and the short-term solution.
Mm.
Now, if you are having given like, what I think they come up with, what, the future, what, investment.
Yeah.
For future generation.
Yeah.
And then we just want to know, we are talking about the future generation, but we are having people already dying for hunger.
Exactly.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. So then,
who is going to produce that kit for future generation if people are dying for hunger here and they have an investment which is there?
Yeah, that's actually the balance act that is becoming very difficult. Because when the government is said, look, in honestly to think, if you think in this way, if you owe more than what you earn, you are already, if any time now, the government, if it was an institution, like a company, or a business company, we are actually bankrupt. You understand?
Yeah, very much.
So
we are
bankrupt. We're not just saying it in that way because it's a country, you know, we are bankrupt.
Mm.
So because what we earn, it's actually then it's less than what we owe. So
yeah, exactly.
Now, then you look at that. Okay, you want to build something that takes you years, you know, to do. In the future, it would be something that is. But now you are in the critical situation where you think, but I have thousands and thousands of people sitting on the street.
You know.
And in my coffer, I have nothing. To actually make sure that these people get a job.
You have a plan for the future.
You have a plan for the future, which costs millions and millions. And here, do you think people will wait that? You know? And even if you're talking about the let's say, for example, the plan that we're talking about, you know, people wouldn't care that if it's going to come after 15 years. Today, I'm not eating. You know,
exactly.
I want a bread on my table right now, right here. So, it is a challenge.
It is a challenge, Mike. Yeah. Because if you look and you think about it, it's like a person who really you want to do something.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like your hands are tied behind your back.
Yeah.
You want to do something, but you cannot, because you cannot, you move your hands.
But the thing is, Imandume, don't go to kucha moka and kweka mnasha. Ino nombor uno na kucha mongula tulie ni nana. Tulie ni nawa.
No, I don't think it's going
to say Christmas will not play and tulie nana, nana, nana. You know? No. Malambula kucha mwe mamu, kam nasha nana, tulie ni ngona, tupate ni ngona, tulie ni mba katunapo. You know? Menote kudu. Then they listen to you to say, look, okay, we understand there is nothing, you know, and maybe because of our stupid, we end up here, you know. But let's move slowly and steadily that we are getting there. You know, don't make me excited and think, oh, wow.
Wow. The next, come next week, we're going to have a goat.
Yeah. And then what happened to the goat?
That's the thing with you, as I'm saying, guys, look, when we're even talking about high numbering and we welcome to you, this is not a government really to do all to create a job for the everybody.
Yeah.
It's between partnership between government and the private.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can get rid of what the high unemployment. And I'm looking at this earlier where I'm saying government, they're supposed to bring SME back. I'm telling you, I'm crying for it, but because I know most majority are going to benefit in that thing. Because the moment you create a loan to give it to drop out to even youth or people who are graduated from, let them say, in vocation, all high institution.
Yeah.
They can be able to come up with anything, my friend. But if you are saying I'm going to create a environment for how many people are going to cater?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you become exhausted. And you are not able to keep everybody on the track. Maybe like now we are going for agriculture, but that is a small percentage you are talking about again. Yeah. In mine also the same. And we have even our brother who are flocking to Namibia every day.
Yeah, I mean, even with agriculture, if you're not addressing the issue of climate change, we can shout all this agriculture has potential, all that kind of things. But you have to bear in mind that the change of weathers, you know, and what we have been experiencing, you may have all well intended that we will invest in agriculture, but then there's a flood. What do you do?
You know, what do you do?
There's drought. The rain doesn't come. What do you do? You know,
and the mega to say that is the problem again is that when we are talking about even wind power, solar panel, we are not even working towards that because remember agriculture needs the power.
Exactly,
you need water, and the water is expensive, and we are not even doing anything when it comes to water. Yeah. But you are telling people to plant how?
So the question is that the resources do you have? Should to you actually, you know, invest in renewable energy that is more easier, or should you invest it in actually nuclear plant? You know,
for me, I think we better go for the energy which we have already.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the only solution which I'm thinking of, because that one would be easier for us, and we already have even the experts.
Yeah.
Waiting somewhere in the street already.
Mm.
When we are talking about people who are graduating from VTD with electrical diploma.
Mm. You just actually divide resources that you don't have, you know, here and here. And then in the end, there won't be any effective, any production or any result of anything, because just a little bit there, you're being seen to be doing something there and there.
In the reality, we can't see nothing.
You won't it. You won't see anything.
Exactly.
You better put.
For me, I think for us to move forward, and if we want to have a short plan, let us go with the solar panel and the wind power.
Exactly.
That's a resource we already have. And for long term, let us do better system with Russia, which we are saying they will come up with a nuclear without us investing, putting up any dollar.
But your nuclear, if you want the nuclear, do you want this as a competitive commodity, let me put it that way. You are competing now with Russia. You're putting up a nuclear way to compete with Russia, with China, with, you know, in the market outside of your country. You understand?
Yeah.
Because your renewable energies can actually cater for your needs.
Exactly.
You don't really need the nuclear power for your needs. You actually want the nuclear power to compete. Now, you're competing with Russia, you're competing with China's, you're competing with the German of this world. You understand?
Yeah.
And would you think you would survive in that arena?
No. If in Russia, they are willing, I think we be able to survive because we have a backup now.
Yeah.
But if we are trying to invest in ourselves, I know that will be Vision 2030. And you see, nobody's going to talk about it after 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's the same what is happening with Vision 2030.
Yeah, we are. It's coming closer and we are quiet about it. No, we don't talk about it anymore. So.
And I'm telling you, it's quiet. And we don't know anything. Like, they will tell you, National Development 5, we are already. And you're wondering, when would they complete even one?
You even ask yourself, what have we achieved in NDP1?
And that is only plan.
NDP was wanted to achieve. We are at 5 and 6 now, and what did we achieve in 1? Harambe prosperity. We were in Harambe prosperity 1 and 2. What have you achieved in 1 and 2? In 1?
What did you achieve in that one? In the first one?
Yeah.
Something I empty. Without the end, it was a priority first to have a mass housing. What happened to the mass housing? If we are talking about we complete the development plan 1.
Yeah.
And the people are still crying for housing.
We are way, way, way back. We are back.
I'm telling you. That's a thing, Mike. Yeah?
We should sometimes just acknowledge we failed.
We absolutely failed.
But that's the only way we can move forward. If we acknowledge, yes, we have failed, we have to come up with a better plan really to reduce this. But if we always water down things, No, we have failed. Let's look at the different way.
Time. It's what I'm saying, Mike.
Yeah.
Our kid, your future generation, they will come and ask you, you guys, what did you do? People who can say they are been doing this and this, but you are so quiet. You become a comprehensive of that.
Yeah,
they will question us.
Yeah. So
even we are not going to be alive that time, they will be like, oh, what, guys, what is happening?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Mike, we are not having even one earlier which we are proud to be a Namibian,
yeah,
because we are competitive with in this area. Mm. Look, we are here, our national team are playing in South Africa. How long does the direction been given that, you know, that independence that must be fixed? Then our national team, but up to now,
yeah,
you are talking about even more than even 5 years now. Our team is competing in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's a home game.
Yeah. Yeah? But the reason why, this is what I was talking to a previous caller. I said, look, it's exciting to think of sport facilities that will be built in all 121 constituencies and also upgrading stadium to CAF standard across the regions. But I said, we are horrible when it comes to maintenance. You know,
I'm telling
the
you.
Reason why we're not playing in Namibia, in our stadium, independent stadium, is because we failed to maintain it to the level of standard of international standards.
I mean, for FIFA, exactly.
It's exactly that. So, and we kind of like pushing that away. Remember where our players are playing. They are playing outside because we failed to maintain, you know, the international standard. And what happened now? We have to use billions and billions to actually renovate and whatever. We could have actually prevented that.
Michael, sorry for you to cut you short. You know what? I don't know, only because you are young, but I used to come for window for holiday. We used to go to Joe Park. I'm telling you, Mike, there used to be a fish pond there in the Joe Park.
No, what? A green? Running water, you know. The park was so green all
it's
the time.
It's so beautiful, everything. You take a picture, you are proud to be taking picture there. Go there today.
Yeah.
People are smoking there. No. Michael, what is going on?
Now, the question
I'm wondering what they are. Mm. We need to start also having that proud to be Namibian.
Yeah.
What's it called? There's an organization which is really proud to be what? Namibian team, what?
Yeah, team,
they are not really doing
Namibia.
Anything.
Yeah, team Namibia, yeah.
Yeah, they are not really promoting what is supposed to be done and educating Namibian to be buying local, that when we are buying local, you are empowering
Mandume, the example of the park you have given is exactly the point. Because now, let's say, for example, the plan now is that we are going to build park everywhere now, okay? So we're getting excited. Ooh, the government is going to actually build now park everywhere. But we have a park that they cannot even manage.
Exactly.
They cannot even sustain it to be, you know, if we were having flourish now, you know, beautiful park already being maintained and all that, and then you can say, well, we can be able to do that. But if we cannot even maintain the one we have, how do we build the one we don't, and how do we, it will be like money we throw into the sea. because
exactly.
And then
the same
if,
thing.
Unless we prioritize that money on certain things, especially for unemployment, look for ways really to get these people out of the street rather than
spending
money on useless things. In the end, how many things have become ghost towns, you know? They're not being used and things like that. So
I'm telling you,
you can't end up jumping and all that. And in the end, in 2 years, 23 years, things are just there without nobody using it.
Mike, if you are speaking the truth, even the president, when he's saying, you know, we are going to build the what, 10 housing, and I was like, come on, how can you say we are going to build 10 housing? That is a drop in the ocean, but yet,
you couldn't even build
mass housing, which are 300 vandalized.
You couldn't even build 300 or 200 or 100 in
the what happened to the even mass housing, which are still standing there to be vandalized because there's nobody living?
Yeah, I want people to understand that this is not being critical, it's just being realistic. There are certain, my boss always to say, you have to remember that when a politician talking to you is actually doing an interview, and they can tell you anything that they want for you to elect them, you understand?
To elect them,
So, and now we have to be realistic enough to say, and this is exactly my whole mission, this whole time is to say, I want people to understand what is going on, understand the reality, and be able to take accountability yourself. You know, let's take accountability as a citizen. Accountable our leaders. It's only when you know. Otherwise, you are told this, and we're just jumping hallelujah and all.
Michael, don't mistake Namibian. Namibian, they understand.
But they understand. But the whole. The whole question is that we need to come to a point where we take responsibility and accountable.
Exactly. And accountable.
And account
the
people.
Problem, you know the problem, Michael, when even it comes to election, is the problem is that when we start going to vote, we vote off our stomach. Not with our brain. We left the brain at home.
Yeah.
We go with our stomach, election, then we start complaining tomorrow. Again, the same thing with over and over. Because we forget about that, you know, this problem is not yet over, and we're just excited because there will be food available in the table.
Yeah.
Then we're excited, but we are not even see the food yet.
Mandume, let's have some other people might come through.
Thank you, my brother.
All right.
But the thing is that we need to really to come up with a policy.
Yeah.
Way to even to with directing the short term solution, because you can tell us the housing which are need to be built, but we're still having mass housing which are still standing there, vandalized by the people because there's nobody living. But people are crying for housing, but we are still not yet even renovating those houses which are then built by mass housing.
Yeah,
then
policies we have, they are on the shelf. We just need people who are implementers, who can say, guys, let's do this. Let's done this. Let's do this. That's what we need. Policies are there.
Yes.
And we have many policies.
We need to also to have maybe a person who's having a pistol and say, no, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to force you.
No, just let him just start. Let she just start firing from left to right. You know, you're not performing, get out of here.
Get
out of here. You know,
exactly.
And then you will see the difference.
That's true.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you, mate.
Great, man. Yeah. So what I want you to understand really, and maybe I'm too passionate about it, is that, you know, I really believe, 100% believe that unless you understand the issues, you won't be able to participate in the dialogue, in the discussion. Igrafim, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning, how are you?
It was quite a vital discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe I should also put it from a different angle.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is the platform for everyone. Yeah.
So that means that if there are those challenges that we are actually talking about,
yeah,
maybe the question is how do we do that? Or is it only an obligation of one person, one particular individual or organization, or maybe the government.
Definitely not.
It requires some concerted effort, correctively.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to invest in long-term projects.
Mm.
Because what we do, and it's important they know all this globally, all this nation,
yeah,
ascribe to sustainable development goals.
Exactly, yeah.
That tells us that as we meet the need of the current generation, then what about tomorrow if you do not have those strategic plan?
Yeah.
How will they be able to survive or create wealth? And in fact, I understand that in the existing structure, it's good. It's very important. All what you need there is just to improve, isn't it? Like the roads, like any other facility or infrastructures.
Mm.
Those ones that are existing. So maybe you just meant there and there, even the budgetary provision won't be that much.
Aye.
But when you are investing in the infrastructure, say the roads, hospitals, and many of those social needs. So I think that's quite good enough. Meaning that you are meeting the need of this one and the one for tomorrow. And without the infrastructure, we are even told that that's where we lack the capacity.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we see now that every region, every local authority, every village, they need those developments. How do you bring the development there without infrastructure? Without investment in infrastructure, be it schools, be it of any kind.
Yeah.
How do we do that? There might also not be existing infrastructure there where you see one might think you want to put more money there, but they are not in existence.
Mm.
So
I think some of the question, maybe Uncle Bora, you can also practically look at this, that, you know, and one thing that I'm saying that I'm really encouraging, it's exactly the same thing that you're saying somehow, that what I want is really for us to be critical in the way, not in the way that you just critical for the sake of critical or criticizing, but in the way now you are saying that we all become part of the process. We as citizens, not only the government, you know, but also we as the citizens, we can be able to analyze and say, yes, that is not right, you know.
After you have analyzed the issue,
yeah.
After your analysis, then what? Present our the result, the findings?
No, I'm not saying analyze in terms of, like now, when you come now and talk, don't you think that what you say, it has impact? You might have someone might be listening to you and actually pick up something that you are saying?
Yeah, no, if they pick it up something or you know it or whatever, that's good enough.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. When you are talking, you are analyzing, isn't it?
You know, I'm just talking about what I have analyzed already. I'm presenting my result here or my finding here.
Yeah, and then when you said, now I was responding to the question, and then when you analyze, and then what? That's why I'm recommending
and I'm suggesting that yes, and I'm telling you now that yes, or whoever is listening, that there are those existing infrastructure that where you think they need improvement. For example, like Zupac.
Yeah.
So now, but there are areas where there are no existing infrastructure like schools, like hospitals, and many other, you can name them. And those ones, they need to be constructed. They need to be developed alongside with the capacity, the personal, the human development effort that they are doing now. So we have now free education. tertiary education and all these things. When those instruments are implemented, now people will have, more people will be graduating in all these professions. And now they come from out of schools and there are no schools built where they can teach. There are no hospitals constructed where they can save the masses. Now, when you are only concentrating on the existing ones, which you might not require some kind of, you know, heavy budget, for example, so to say. So what about the roads that need to go from Okangwati to other area? The ones that will then connect so that people can then trade or do business. So those are the things that I'm saying. And I'm not saying that this is so bad to improve. Of course, we can align our efforts to this existing structure. And there are so many things that are going, maybe the policies, the programs that are there. But the ones that we are talking about, that according to the review that you were just looking at.
Yeah.
So they are also talking about how to invest in the infrastructure. And that is the major thing. And we are saying, even this green hydrogen that we are talking about, how does it really, how can it be realized and all these other national goals be realized without putting infrastructure in place?
Yeah.
Without putting the human capacity into place.
Mm. All right.
So let's not deviate the vision, or maybe we need just to promote it. Of course, you say even if nuclear weapons that we're talking about, I like the Mandela's view when he said, so there are long-term plans, short-term plans, and that is all about sustainable development.
All right.
So we need more infrastructure here. And we are even told that we do not have the capacity. How do we overcome that problem now of having infrastructure and all these other things that are being mentioned there? It's for us to make sure that we make budgetary provision and organize our skill base here so that they can respond to those needs.
All right.
So let's not forget about it. So if you have the budget for improvement, to improve the infrastructure that are there, cannot be compared with those big millions that are there for infrastructure, capital projects, for example. So thank you very much. I'm just viewing my point.
You're welcome. And the
recommendation on that review that you're talking about.
All right. Thank you for coming through.
Welcome.
All right. All right. Our time, it's 20 minutes past the hour of 9, and we go up to 9:30. So by 9:30 we will come to the end of unpacking the day. And I couldn't go through all all the things that I wanted to highlight. Maybe I would bring this up tomorrow again or something, you know, because they are very interesting things that we need to look at and analyze a little bit. So quite a number of things. So I didn't even go to at least some enablers, the economic enablers that are very, very, very important to look at. Yeah, so, but you still have some times if you want to come through and also share your opinion on what we have covered so far. Yeah, so the other social priority that I was just looking at, sport, from the review, have been identified as a tool for youth development. So the SWAPO manifesto, implementing plan includes promises, as I said earlier on, to build basic sport facilities in all 121 constituencies and upgrade stadium to CAF standard across the region. So that there's a 200 million annually is earmarked for sport leagues, and with additional also indicating that maybe from potential coming from whatever gambling levy and other things. So now
But here's the problem. As I said, you know, when the, from the review also, the problem looking at Namibia has a high, a history of building infrastructure only to let it deteriorate due to poor maintenance. And that's typical. I give an example when now, because we are talking about sport, talking about Oshakati Stadium, for example, talking about, the Independent Stadium itself. You know, the reason why now we have to fork out billions and billion and do and rebuild and renovate that, it's because we haven't been done that. We haven't been actually, you know, maintaining that stadium. So that's why now we found ourselves now, you know, spending billions and billions actually to be able to upgrade that. And imagine, it's a shame that we have actually our players. The whole idea is good. I mean, as I said, we applaud the government, the new administration in focusing on this. And what also the other people said, let's not maybe over exaggerate, first of all, what we can do, because, you know, first of resources, there's resources always limited. And then when you bring so much hope and maybe not be able to live up to those expectations, it becomes more painful rather than actually said, look, this is all what we have and this is all what we can be able to do now. And let's see what we can do in the future. So be more practical and really, to what we have now. So the question now that we're looking at this, it's like, will this cycle repeat? You know, this now, you know, not being able to maintain, you know, our infrastructure. Can this administration deliver sustainable sport development? You know, maybe something different from what other administrations have been doing. And beyond infrastructure, how will now? So let's say, for example, you have built now the infrastructure. Now, how will the government, and maybe that's also what Benango Bonap saying, and other players, how will then we nurture talent? So it's not just about you build the infrastructure, but if you have no people who are using the infrastructure, then that it doesn't help anything. So how do we nurture then talent and ensure this investment translate into, because the whole idea is that you want to create opportunity for young people. How do we then ensure that the investment you are inputting, it actually brings some return. It translated into opportunity for young people. So, and sometimes I think from the plans, those who are doing the review said that is not clear. It's not clear. There is just this blank, plan that we're going to do this. We're going to build up, you know, stadiums. We're going to upgrade this one, but beyond that, what are they also found available to ensure to nurture the talent, to nurture the talent and ensure that this investment now, what investing is translated into opportunities, for young people. So, and then we have the youth unemployment, as we know, is standing at 44.4% around there. With discouraged job seekers that can push that figure even higher, you know, with that group of discouraged job seekers, if you include that, that goes up as well. Now, the SWAPO, implementation plan proposes initiative like National Youth Fund. So it proposes National Youth Fund, entrepreneurial centers, also proposes entrepreneurial centers in each region. So, and apprenticeship for 10,000 young people annually, you know. So when you hear now, for example, 10,000 young people annually, where does this figure, you know, where does it take in? Where do you take this figure from? Is that a tab of the, what is it? What is it? The English word is gone. So, Shingi Shashaya. So, now, while these measures are really, really a step in the right direction. They are step in the right direction. They may, and this is a review, they may fall short like any other things, because this is not just something that say, you know, you being too negative or whatever people. No, this is something we know from previous plans. So they may fall short of addressing the scale of the challenge. So it's understanding the scale of the challenge and looking at, are we able to meet? It is the good things. This is what we want. These are the plans that should be really focusing on. But what you're saying, you may actually fall short of addressing this because of that scale of the challenge. So that's also what other people are looking at. And Namibia needs a systemic reform to create a more dynamic labor market and remove barriers to entrepreneurship, especially to entrepreneurship. So do you believe these initiatives can turn the tide? So, or are they merely scratching? Do you think they may be just scratching the surface of really deeper issues? So there are also, there's also education. So, and which is also, here is another bold commitment, you know, higher education and vocational training by 2026. At an annual cost, that there will be a free higher education now, free higher education and vocational training by 2026. So at the cost, at an annual cost of 5 billion. Do you understand? 5 billion. Now, think about it. How much were, I can't remember now, what is the budget of the Ministry of Education? Is it 12 billion or 24 billion? I don't know. I'm not too sure. So now take out 5 billion already. You know, how many percent is that from 24, you know, 24 or 12? I'm not too sure which one is it. So you see, so next year, tuition fees at government owned institution would be fully eliminated. And the Namibian Student Financial Assistance Fund, NASFAF, reintegrated into the Ministry of Education. So now, as I said, this policy, it's not a policy yet, but once it become a policy, it's likely to be popular and we're all happy, about this. So, but they are concerned. They are really, really, really concerned. And as the Ministry of Education the other day talked about, that we have to consult all stakeholders and make sure that, you know, this is when it comes down to it, private institutions. So where will the funding, you know, that's the first question comes. Everybody on everyone's mouth is, where would be the funding come from? All right. Namibia already struggling to absorb existing graduate. In the job market, we're already struggling to absorb the existing graduate into the job market. Will this initiative, now the question is, will this initiative worsen the mismatch between the skills and the opportunities? Now, as Uncle Bwana mentioned, that we'll be able now to produce skills people. Yes, but then as you do that, would you also create opportunities? So for these people that you are producing, and are you still focusing on the skill that you needed, so that when these people are actually, when you produce this graduate, they actually focus on the skills that needed in the market. So, and with limited resources, resources are always limited. There's no unlimited resources in the world. There's no one who have unlimited, even US or whatever other government that are, you know, powerful government in the world financially. So there's always limited resources. So now you also then have to think, there are questions also that could this policy lead to a decline in the quality of education as well? So now, there are a couple of things. We actually are trading on Mr. Hamwood, time. Our time is about 32 minutes past the hour of 9. So basically that brings us to the end of our episode today of the Unpacking the Day. So let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM. And my name is Michael Shivedi, and I leave you in the capable hands. So well, tune in for Mind the Gap if you really, really want to have a smile on your face. At least not being serious. A serious discussion like we have here on Unpacking. If you want something mold, what is that? What is the word? You know, something that is just, you know, light and wherever you are, have a little bit of a giggles, laugh there. And this is the program that are coming up. That's what you're looking for. So tune in and Mind the Gap with how much coming up right away from now. For me, have a really, really lovely day. And goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirotoguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyawa, Otaimbo, what is a mini, Anna Josefa, Yanamibia, of the Tom Banawa, Omjika, Faithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Longishifa, Okupiramo, Eagle FM Media House, where 20 Miniha, Uka Kombanga Nina, Kara, Omashi Freki, Wimopo, Yomoe Programma, Letu, Moambo, Lingira.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM, let's express.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2.
Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.